Good to be here today. It seems like right now I'm in one of my analytical thinking phases, and at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't go to sleep, and that's not good. But yet, there's a spiritual aspect of that when you meditate, and that's one of the things that I've been trying to do here of late is compare the physical kingdom that we have, the physical world that we live in, versus the spiritual kingdom. And right now we're spiritual beings and we're physical beings. And there's an aspect of if we tie ourselves to this physical world only and try to get. Eventually, we get old and we can't walk as well, and everything, our physical life kind of slopes down to where we may have missed a time of spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. But God loves us. He's going to take us to heaven and we'll be on the other side and learn a lot. Real quick and forever about the love of God. But it's in my thinking, and this may be a product of my life that I had in terms of my vocation. I'm not trying to say that everybody needs to see this, but I have had the opportunity to fly in the air at 37, 42, 52,000, see the earth round, and really dark when you get way up high, and you are able to look down and see a lot of land. And I've kind of been watching here lately, eagles flying and hawks flying, how they can fly around and then all of a sudden pinpoint something and dive down into the water, keep their wings out of the water, and grab a fish and go. But, you know, seeing those little animals scurrying around on the ground is a lot easier for a bird to see and with their keen eyesight. And why I say that is, you've heard the expression, well, what's the 37,000 foot view? You get to see more. You get to see the outlines of the rivers and the lakes and all, and I've had the opportunity to do that, but that's nothing to compare with the spiritual kingdom. But we don't live like that. We live in a physical world where that's all that we think is important, and we miss a lot when we don't meditate on what God has done, and He has provided us a kingdom of God that's expressed in Revelation 21:22, and that has been available for the last 2,000 years, I believe. The kingdom of God did come. Jesus did fulfill all righteousness and the law, and He provided us a new heaven and a new earth. Why aren't we looking at it? Why aren't we trying to learn more about it? I'm not saying that I have. I believe that if I look back over 69 years, I lived a lot of my life just for me. And I'm ashamed of that. And so, what can we do, maybe, but to see how small we really are, but yet how big God is? And so I did a little math, forgive me. I just want to throw out some numbers. This morning I was waking up and crunching numbers and all. And we know the earth is so big. That's a known fact. And we know that the kingdom of God in Revelation 21:22 is a known fact. If you look at both the earth's surface and you figure out how many, there's only 9% of the earth that is land. Two-thirds is water or whatever. And if you do all the math divided by 8.12 billion people, you come up with how much land would each one of us have if all the land was equal. All land's not equal, but only 20% of that is habitable and suitable for agriculture to grow. We can't live at the poles very long. We can't live in the desert. So a portion of that land is isn't livable. So it comes out to be about 92 acres per person for 8 billion people. That's given. But if you look at the number, the amount of land, it'd be a bigger number. But you can't, everybody can't live on some portions of the land. But here's the thing. All of us can live in the kingdom of God, but how do we get there? And is it transitory? It's not. I mean, we're tied to this piece of earth by gravity. Our earth is revolving 1,000 miles per hour. And I was looking at the numbers this morning. You know, we're going around the sun. Right now, we're going around the sun at a very, very fast rate. I think it was something like 18 miles per second or something like that. And then we're going in and out of the galactic plane. And then we're going around the galaxy, and our whole galaxy's moving at 360 miles per second away from all the others. Some we're going close to. But I mention all that just because we're on a roller coaster. And if we don't watch it, we will tie ourselves to the physical world and miss the spiritual world that God has provided. So I'll read a few verses. And before I do that, I just wanted to mention that the Revelation 21:22 talks about a new heaven and new earth that's 12,000 furlongs cubed, the equal on the length, width, and height. And a furlong is 220 yards. If you work out that math with 12,000 furlongs, it comes out to 1,500 miles cubed. That's a lot. And if you, all of that is habitable in God's kingdom. Whereas on the earth, you're limited. You can't live in the desert. But in the kingdom, if you could see that kingdom with the tree of life in the middle, and Jesus Christ is there, and the tree of life was in Genesis, and now it's in Revelation, and then he died, he was crucified on a tree. There's a lot in the Bible about the spiritual aspect, and I even believe the dark hole in the center of our galaxy is a picture of Jesus Christ in the 3 hours of darkness when he was crushed for the sins of his people. And all the planets and all the stars revolve around this black hole. Every scientist have told us that most galaxies have a black hole in the middle. So if it weren't for that black hole, we wouldn't have something that binds us together. And I believe that that darkness is a picture of what Jesus Christ endured for us. He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So darkness has a positive aspect. When Adam sinned, he plunged us, the whole human race, into darkness. Then Jesus had to be made darkness to deliver his people from their sin. We're born in our mother's womb in darkness. We have the dark nature that we have of carnal mind and a natural spirit. But we also, if we dwell there, we're going to miss the spiritual mind of Christ and the spirit of the new creature. Here it is, Apostle Paul. He taught us. He was like a doctor of Adam anatomy, I call it. And that word is not something I came up with. Brother Don Ferris came up with it. Adam anatomy. Think about it. The story of two Adams. A-D-A-M's, not A-T-O-M's. But that, to me, shows that if we live in Adam, and miss Jesus Christ, Adam, in terms of our spiritual growth, we've missed a whole lot. And to come to the end of your life, I don't care how many acres we acquire. The Lord has blessed me with some acreage, but that's nothing. That's going to be passed down, and who knows what's going to happen to it. But if we miss our kingdom of God experiences and have that 37,000 miles, let's make it 1,500 miles view instead of 37,000. We can't live out in space. We're bound to this little earth. And we live, I think, sometimes our lives to where we make that all that's important when it's not. There's so much in that we miss when we don't look at the spiritual aspect. And I'm as guilty as everybody. And I'm not trying to talk down to us. I'm just saying that we need to look at spiritual home that he has provided. In Luke 17:21, it says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. All right. So if we have this kingdom that God has made available, how do we get there? What do we have to do in order to be in that? Because I believe this 1,500 mile cube is a spiritual dimension that's available right now. I'm praying that this church and this congregation and myself is in that 1,500 mile cube right now. But as soon as we follow our flesh, we're spit out. We're thrown out of the windows. There's 12 gates to this kingdom described in Revelation 21, 22. All I have to do is be selfish, want to be a murderer, liar, and I'm ejected out of the kingdom. It's not, you know, okay, I want to live bad, I'm going to walk out. No, you're ejected. God, I believe, has made a kingdom such that in this domain of spirituality, we're out. Or how do we get back in? Well, I think Matthew 5 talks about some of those. But before I do that, I wanted to talk about a little bit just to show that this is in the Bible. In Revelation 21:16, it says, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth and height of it are equal. So equal on a side, 1,500 cubed, okay, miles. So that is a fact. I didn't write that. God's Spirit through John, Apostle Paul, wrote that. So there is a dimension. Even the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, at the sixth hour through the ninth hour, he was nailed to a tree, and it says the blood of his cross. There's no blood in a piece of wood. But there is blood. When we had communion last week, that blood represents what he shed for us. And I believe that dimensionally, Jesus Christ was in the lake of fire on that tree for 3 hours. Why did I say that? Because he has to suffer what we deserve. Sin is something that separates us, and Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness, and he had to be made. He's the only being that's ever lived and been in, put in the position as the Son of Man in his perfect humanity in the lake of fire. Satan hasn't even been condemned there yet or sentenced there yet. So of all the people that are in the kingdom or the Lamb's Book of Life, we legally were put in him during that. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, Shach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, and one like unto the Son of God was there, which is the Son of Man. So guess what? Those three Hebrew children are representative of the whole family of God. We're in Christ, and he paid our price, and he protected us from that flame, from that hell. But he endured it, and he protected us. And I just feel like in my heart that, and here it is, Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan king, saw that, and he was a child of God. All right? So God allows some pretty evil people that are children of God who live in their physical realm, who are great kings and want to be worshiped and all, occasionally to see some really powerful things. And he puts up kings and he tears down kings. That's not my message this morning. I just want to talk about a little bit about this new heaven and earth. Revelation 21, 1 through 7 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed." The law is passed. The Old Testament church passed. All the sacrifices have passed. Now he gives us something new in his resurrection. I believe he was the pastor of the first church. Why do I say that? Because when he was baptized, he received the Holy Spirit, or the descended on him like a dove, and he gathered to himself disciples. And he started preaching for 3.5 years. Before that, he had to go through 40 days of fasting and then attacked by Satan. But he, as the Son of Man, was strengthened by the Spirit of God. It's no test, I believe, for Satan to attack the Son of God, because he's God. Jesus Christ was God and man, but he attacked the man, and he wanted him to be a spotted lamb so that he would not go to the cross and redeem his people. So look at the life of Jesus Christ and what he endured for us. The one prior called the Word made the whole universe, and our little earth spinning around. If I were to go off the stage and go around this podium, and this is the center of the galaxy, it'd be like our earth going up and down and around, and the whole galaxy moving. We're very, very much moving. But what are we doing while we have this time on earth? Are we living this on this earth in the physical realm? Or do we meditate and live in the spiritual realm from time to time, and hopefully remain in that city where there's life, there's tree of life that has fruit for all season. There's no darkness there. He is the light therein. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" Wait a minute. So the tabernacle's inside in our new nature. And that is what he has made available to us. "And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am,'" and by the way, when he said it is finished, it is done. He has secured our eternal life. And at some point in his timing, he regenerated us and made us active, growing, and now the kingdom is inside and available to us if we seek it. "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So how are we going to be there this morning if we come in and we're thinking about things in the physical realm? We're not in the kingdom. I mean, and a lot of us, and that's what I guess having this cancer has taught me, that, wow, I am going to die. And I want to live before that comes. And so how do I do that? Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor. Wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be rich. We're supposed to be poor in our old nature. We're supposed to be poor in our carnal mind and poor in our natural spirit, which is enmity of God. Because when you're poor in that, you're rich in the kingdom of God and in the new nature with its own mind of Christ and spirit of the new creature. So I think that poor is actually where we see we're poor apart from the grace of God. Blessed is he that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 1,500 mile cube. That's available. And that's what this is speaking of, and that's how we're in that city, that holy city, beloved city. Quite frankly, I'd rather be in the rural area where the, you know, in the countryside. Well, guess what? 1,500 mile cube. There can be a city in the middle, but there's a lot of country in that 1,500 mile cube. So think of that. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. And I don't think, by the way, Jesus minds you traveling in this 1,500 mile cube spiritually. Okay? By the way, when we go to heaven, he makes a brand new heaven and earth that and sin is taken, destroyed. Satan's in the lake of fire and the fallen angels and everything. We're probably going to be able to travel at the speed of thought wherever. We won't need oxygen anymore. We won't be afraid of being bombarded by radiation or any kind of particles. And we're going to be able to travel. But right now, he's teaching us to live in a 1,500-mile cube. And these verses in Matthew 5, I believe, teach us the characteristics of what we need to be like to be in that cube. So continuing, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets were before you. And then it talks about you're the salt of the earth and the light. So my desire this morning is to be in the kingdom of God. And I know that I'm not going to be in it 100%. But I should strive to be there. And I used to fight it. Wake up at 3 o'clock, can't go to sleep. Just sit there. Well, maybe, or lay there. Maybe I'll read the Bible. Then I go to sleep. It's like, wow, good sleeping aid. I mean, I'm saying that after a period of time, all right. I believe that if we immerse ourselves in this kingdom type scenario and try to be there, there's a lot of work here, spiritually speaking, to adhere to all those things in Matthew 5. We got to not fight back and bite our tongue sometime and love our enemies. I mean, there's a lot there. But as soon as it's dog eat dog, we're ejected out of the kingdom and we're in darkness. And it says there's dog sorcerers and whoremongers there. So again, that's not a picture of heaven eternally. Where are we going? This is a transitory temporal place that we have available while we're on earth to be in a spiritual dimension, raised to new heights with God. And he has made that tabernacle inside. We don't need beautiful buildings. We don't need anything in this world physically to be spiritually rich. So thank you. I'm thinking more and more about this, and I pray that we will try to be there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all you've made available to us, this kingdom, and that it's with us, in us, and help us to see the beauty of thy finished work and that you are the center of that city, and in that big, huge area that we have available, that is available for all of God's children to be in. Thank you for the promises you've given us and the time you have given us to meditate on thy goodness and love. Please bless the rest of the service. Please bless Brother Marty as he comes before us. And thank you again. Please bless this nation to repent and to turn from its ungodly life that it is, and help us to have revival. Lord, in Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.